This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello again. We want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads and Uncensored Word podcast. With me, as always, Brother Matt Olson and myself, Russ Earl. Today, we're continuing our series looking at when God seems far away. And we have placed emphasis numerous times already on that word seems. We are in really the second part of our, I guess you say, our third lesson. We've broken this series up into three lessons, and we've taken several podcasts to look at some of these. But we're continuing what we started last time, looking at I have come to deep waters. It's from Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2. And last time we talked about some spiritual deeps. We talked about, or depths, however you want to look at that. We looked at the spiritual depth of apostasy and vain worship from Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9. We also talked about the spiritual deep of false teachers. And we talked about, you know, the spiritual deep of apostasy being falling away. And that's where we talk about under the realm of apostasy. We're dealing with vain worship, false teachers, and then members who have fallen away. And then we also got into the spiritual deeps or depths of the world. We talked about last time the spiritual deep of or depth of atheism, looking at Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 8:3-4 and Romans 1 verse 20. And today we're picking up with our second spiritual deep of the world. We say deep because they're in Psalm 69 verses 1 and 2. He talks about how he is now in deep waters, things of that nature. So that's where we're taking this different deeps or depths of from. So we look at now our second spiritual deep of the world, and that is denominationalism. Whenever you're talking about things we have to be on guard against, denominationalism is one of those things. And it does kind of go hand in hand with false teachers. As last time, we really dealt with, if I remember correctly, really false teachers who are claim to be members of the church. And we dealt with it from that angle. Because if we are members of the church, the Lord's church, we recognize that denominationalism is not something we need to be a part of, and it's and we could talk about false teachers and include denominationalism, but we have separated that. But we're going to begin by looking at John chapter 15, looking at verse 5, where the Bible says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." This is Christ speaking. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So he says, "I am the vine," meaning I am what everyone is attached to. As we continue through here, and as the Apostle Paul also bears out, that we are members of the body of Christ individually, that the branches here are going to be branched off, as you find here, are not individual denominations. You think about that. They go right against what Christ has been teaching the whole entire time. What was the point of establishing his church, as he mentioned there in Matthew 16:18, and coming into fruition in Acts 2, if there are many, quote, churches? And so the branches logically cannot be a reference to churches. It must be a reference to individual Christians. So he says, "I am the vine," singular. "You are the branches." You is talking to individual members of the church. He's talking to, then it was talking to believers. For us today, we'd apply it to individual members of the church. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And so the branches being individual members. But we have those today who will tell you, so they're blue in their face, that those branches are denominations. They are the various denominations of the world. But in reality, think about it. Christ was approached by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews, and all these other different groups or sects, as we call them, and he condemned them because their teachings were in contradiction to the Word of God. And today we have what we run into is some want to lump in the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, with a denomination. Now, we want to be very clear. There are some church bodies of the churches of Christ who have erred from the faith. They're no longer teaching sound doctrine, which is what we dealt with last time when we mentioned false teachers. And in that case, then yes, they most definitely are a denomination, because when you err, when you separate yourself from the Word of God and start going beyond it or start falling short of it, you're no longer the Church of Christ. You're something else. And so we think about this idea in John 15 and verse 5. we have to remember that we are the branches. We are those things that are attached to the vine. We want to be the church that's a part of that church, which is the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that the body of Christ is the church, which he is the head of. And so, but we have denominations around us today, and we can go out our front door, some of us, and see the various different groups out there. You know, when I drive to the church building here in Ullagaw, we pass one in our route, but we can see from the building where another one used to be up around the corner. If you were to drive through Ullagaw, you would find several, some of them very large. But again, does that matter? No. What matters is what's being taught inside those buildings. So I'm going to pause there for just a moment and let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at this spiritual deep of denominationalism. And do keep in mind, this is our first time back, as we have changed back to our 20-minute format, moved away from that longer 50-minute format. And so today's lesson and future ones will be 20 minutes. And so we do hope you enjoy this, and we're going to turn this over to Brother Matt now. Go ahead.
Thank you, Russ. That was a nice way to tell me to hurry up, please. No, I'm just kidding. No,
that wasn't what I meant.
But I like that. I am the vine. You are the branches. It doesn't. It says we are. You know, Christ is talking to the people here. He's not talking to a group of like Jews or like the Sadducees or like the different denominations that we call. And I think with denominations is, I think it's like a, if I remember right, we're doing a study at home on all the denominations too. We just started with Noah at home, and we're going through all these. And it's funny you brought out this verse today, was because that's what we were going over last night. And denominationalism is, it's kind of like a separation. It's like you're kind of all separated, but then when people start talking to you, they're like, "Oh, what church do you go to?" And we go to the Church of Christ. And what denomination is that? It's kind of like, it's not a denomination, and it's not part of a denomination. It's part of the New Testament church in Acts 2. And they look at you kind of funny, go, "Oh, okay." And just like, "Oh, whatever." But denominationalism, it's like a separation. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, Satan uses that to his advantage, right? He's pulling people away, like with Catholicism, Lutheranism, Baptist, all that, because whatever is going against what the Bible says, you are Antichrist. And I'm a firm believer. I grew up in denominationalism. I grew up as a Lutheran. I don't remember this, but as a child, I got sprinkled and went through confirmation. And I still don't know the whole purpose of why I did things. You know, back then, you look at that, you're going, I think I just did it because my parents did it. Their parents did it. It was kind of like a gradual, well, this is just what you do. And then once we started studying with a group of friends in Harrisonville, when we started going to the church there, it was like, whoa, what are we doing? And I think denominationalism, it kind of traps you, you know, and many people believe that we're all Christians, you know, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, all the denominational world think, oh yeah, we're all Christians. Like, I have some friends here at work that there's Catholics, there's Lutherans, and they always say, yeah, that's a group of Christians. And, you know, sometimes I raise my hand and say, hey, you know, you guys are kind of teaching falsely. And they look at me like with a puzzled face, and they're like, what? You know, we have to realize that denominationalism is a false teaching. It's false. It's false. I mean, like Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, how are we to bear fruit? How are we to bear fruit without Christ? If you're going against Christ and you're in a denominational world, and you're not like really studying the Bible, you're just relying on man. Because that's basically what it is too, is denominationalists rely on what a man says. Not really what the Bible says. Most times it's kind of what a man projects the Bible thing. So that was my mini.
Yeah, you know, in we think about as you talk about this denominationalism, and of course we, like Matt said, you know, we have coworkers and we have friends and things who are members of denomination. And when we talk about their false teaching, this doesn't mean that the people who we're talking to are not nice, kind people. And I think Matt agrees with me on that. I know he does, agrees with me on that as well. In fact, I've you know, I think of a gentleman who I know who's, I consider him a good friend of mine, and he's a very moral person. In fact, when you compare him to some people, other people I know, he'd blow them out of the water. But the problem we run into is not if they're not kind, if they're not, you know, generous and nice people to be around as well. But it's the false teaching that is in those places and that people have sometimes grown up with. And I think when I think about denominationalism, it's kind of like Matt said, it's something that it's almost like something you do automatic. You know, something you've heard for so long, and it's just part of who you are. You know, and any congregation should encourage you to open up your Bibles and to read and to ask questions and things and such as that, because the most important thing in life is to make sure that we are doing what is pleasing to God. If you're a member of the church and if you're not a member of the church, I encourage everyone, whether you're a member of the church or not, open up your Bibles. You know, there's a reason why we do. We have Bible verses here, and I probably don't do it enough, but I always encourage people to open up their Bibles when we do these podcasts, or I try to. I don't always get to it. I jump right into it. But we want you to follow along with us, and because the biggest mistake we can make is going down the wrong path, thinking that we are doing what is right, and we haven't checked these things in the Word of God. You go back and you look at John 15 and verse 5, that's one of the things that Christ is pointing out here. When he says that he is the vine and you are the branches, he's telling us that we should be attached to him. And if you're attached to Christ, then what are you following? You're following his teachings. You're not following man's teachings. And so someone who is attached to Christ, you know, you can't follow man's teachings and then still claim to be attached to the vine. You're no longer attached to the vine. That's why we say there are some churches of Christ who have deviated from the Word of God. They're no longer attached to the vine. They're now moved on into denominationalism. And so we have to remember that. Well, let's also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm looking here at verse 27. Here the Apostle Paul speaking, this is what I mentioned of before. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now the body of Christ, who's he talking to? He's talking to members. He's talking to the members of the church. Here in 1 Corinthians, the church has been established. He says, you are the body of Christ. It is the body being a reference to the church and members individually. When we come together, when we say sometimes we come together on the first day of the week, we come together as the church. And I try to bear this out many times as well and from the pulpit. When I say that the church is in the pew, we're talking about the members of the church. We are members individually, but when we gather together to worship God, we gather as the church. The church is not a building. It's not a place in where we meet. We go to places to meet as the church. You think about, you know, in the New Testament, we find examples of people where the church met in someone's home. Well, if it's a building, does that mean there's a building inside of someone's home? Well, no, that means that people were gathering individually, they're getting together, and as the church, when they came together as the church, they were worshiping God. And so we find that idea when they came together. When the Apostle Paul talks about those who were partaking of the Lord's Supper in an incorrect manner, he uses the phrase, when you come together, I hear, and he goes on to talk about it. What does he mean when he says when you come together? He's talking about when you come together as the church. And we find that same idea here. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 7, if I remember correctly. But he mentions them coming together as the church. There's always something that goes off when I'm trying to do this. So there's that alarm. And I think that was my alarm for this exact show. So, yeah, it sure was. Hey, I remember because I'm doing it right now.
There you go.
So, but we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. We are the body. The church is made up of individual members and we come together as the church, not a denomination. When we come together as a church, we are what? We are the church who is the body of Christ. And we look at Matthew chapter 7. And did you want to say something, Matt?
Nope, I was just going to look at Matthew chapter 7, 2, 13, 14.
Okay.
Where, you know, like you said, that there's false teachers pulling us away. And it's kind of like, yeah, I'll read it, I guess. I'll take over.
Okay.
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because a narrow gate, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You think about the wide gate to destruction is, you know, what's having our notes here is denominationalism, and their false teaching have pulled many off the pathway of eternal life, because they're sending them on a different path. And like we said before, is there are some great people. There are some awesome people in the denominational world. I'm not saying that there isn't, but there's a lot of false teachings that put them on that wide open path. And, you know, Christ says that the narrow gate is, it's a difficult way. It's not an easy path, you know? And I think that's the whole problem with denominationalism. There are great people, but it's kind of like they don't realize what they're doing. You know, if they would just take a minute, I say a minute, but no, take time to study the Bible and what it says, mm-hmm. instead of studying the Bible and also your other little denominational book or your catechism or something that was written by man. That's the whole thing, is denominationalism was founded by man. The church, God's church, is headed by Jesus Christ. And that's a big difference, is the head of our church is Christ. Most denominations, the head of their church are, you know, you have elders and some of their things, but, you know, like Catholics have the Pope. And there's different men that are seated at higher power or higher authority in the church as a whole. It's kind of like what was given, we were talking about last night, was like at our Chipman Road, our elders, they don't get to go delve into Ooliga Church of Christ and be like, hey, you know, we're elders of this church. Hey, so we're going to come over here and help you guys out, you know, your eldership or whatever else. 39th Street is like, no, the eldership is over their congregation. They are shepherding their flock there in Lee Summit. They don't get to go delve in and go over here and go over there. No, that's not the way God intended. Though Paul was kind of traveling to different churches, but he set elderships, you know, God set elderships in those churches to guide and direct. And that's the thing, is, but it's not just like a group of people, kind of like a, you know, kind of like a government type of society.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's never a bad thing, which I know I mentioned this before, to ask why we do certain things. And, you know, we want to keep the proper attitude. We don't want to come across as attacking people, and that's definitely not our desire today. But if you're attending somewhere, you know, stop and think about some of the things that you do. Why do we, you know, people ask all the time, why do you not have mechanical instruments and music? And I'll answer that question all the time. You know, before I was a Christian, when I was considering becoming a member of the Lord's Church, that's one of the questions I had to ask. Among other things as well. But think about for a moment, as we're talking about denominationalism, why, like Brother Matt was made mention of, why do denominations have these various heads? You know, when I was a member of the Baptist Church, nothing, you know, against the people, some very kind people there. But I think about for example, the Southern Baptist Convention. I think about how when I went to Bible camp, I laugh because that was so long ago, and how we would send our check to the Southern Baptist Convention, not to the actual camp itself. And I remember the 1 year I had to go to that building where it was and pay, because I think I was registering late or something. I don't know. And I remember asking, why don't we send it here? And, you know, sometimes I had those glimpses of, you know, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? And because I was young and I don't know, I didn't really think about a whole lot of things. Yeah. And, you know, just because you're young doesn't mean you're not considering things. But for me personally, at that point, I wasn't thinking about a whole lot of stuff. It was, oh, this is weird. Huh? And I went on. But that's a dangerous attitude to have. You know, why do those conventions exist? Why, you know, and the Baptists are not unique in that. I'm not trying to pick on them. The Methodists, you know, their preachers, for example, are assigned where they're going to teach. boy, I hope you like that place. Because if not, tough. You're there until the convention or the committee, whoever it is, tells you you're going somewhere else. The Methodist Church in our town, when the female preacher there, so-called, left, the new minister, whoever, what term you want to use, was assigned to this location, to Ulaga. Is that in the Bible? No, that's not. No one was assigned a certain place, and we don't definitely do not see female preachers in the New Testament. We don't see anything like that. And so, again, questions begin to build. Why is this going on? Why do we do this? And hopefully you're met with some kind people who will talk with you and be open with you. But we have to make sure that our answers come from the Bible. They don't have, our answers cannot – we cannot be okay with answers that come from creed books, that come from something that's just been, this is how we do it. You know, that shouldn't be something that, okay, and we move on. Where, you know, we're talking about spiritual things, and they have to have spiritually answered, spiritual answers, which only come from the Bible. Do you want anything, Matt, before we close?
Yeah, one thing that we got to realize too, and don't take this as a knock to anybody, but sometimes us, we're lazy, right? We just want the easy fix. We want the easy way out. We want the, hey, can you just tell me the five steps of salvation so I can do them? And sometimes we don't, you know, I'm not saying that we can do it or whatever, but I'm just saying, just as people, we're lazy. We, you know, we like the easy. We like the easy. And that's part of the problem. Is sometimes, you know, we don't need to take the easy way. We need to study. We need to figure out, hey, are these who are preaching, are they preaching the right gospel? Are they doing the right things? Are they helping us to progress in our spiritual life, in our daily life, and just stay on your toes? You know, like our preacher says, hey, when I give you a scripture, go through the Bible and look at it. You know, don't take my word for it. Don't ever take my word for it. You know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matt. And we do thank everyone for tuning in today. We're going to stop there. And when we come back next time, we'll continue looking at this idea of denominationalism and some precautions we want to take. And so we hope you have enjoyed this Bible study. We hope you join us again next time for another edition of Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. If you are interested in other programs I take part in, you can tune in to Cabin Talks with myself and Ethan Scholl on Mondays. You can tune in to the Insights podcast on Tuesday. On Thursdays, you can tune in to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast with myself and Matthew Olson. You can also tune in to Bible Studies with Russ on Thursdays. And on Fridays, you can tune in to the Quiet Moments podcast, as well as the Working Through the Scriptures podcast, which I co-host with Corey Orr. As always, I thank you for listening.